This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 417, down 1.5. September corn, 409.5, down 2.75. December corn, 415.25, down 2.75. July soybeans, 1387.75, down 4.75. August soybeans, 1299.75, down 15. September soybeans, 1166.75, down 13.5. July wheat, 568, up 6.25. September wheat, 579.5, up 4. December wheat, 603.75, up 5.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with the grain report for Thursday. And the Illinois country grain prices, they ended mixed on Thursday afternoon. Corn saw lower levels with corn crops in areas looking like a record crop. Soybeans are still reacting to the record estimate of soybean acres. And wheat found strength from problems with the harvest of hard red wheat. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 cents at 389 to 413. Soybean bids dropped 15 to 18 cents, ranging from 1350 to 1375. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 5 cents lower at 398 to 411. Soybean bids down 13 to 15 cents at 1354 to 1375. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 to 6 cents lower at 407 to 428. Soybean bids mostly 12 to 15 lower, ranging from 1362 to 1395. And wheat bids up 4 to 7 cents at 534 to 559. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids 15 cents lower on Thursday at 1380 to 1420. Basis unchanged at 80 to 120 over the August. High-pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $457 to $477 per ton. That's down $1530 to $1830 per ton, with basis down $10 to $13 per ton, ranging from $10 to $30 over July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 3 cents at $410 to $430, with basis unchanged, range from option to $20 over September. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids a penny lower at $4.25 to $4.27. Basis gained 2 cents, range from 15 to 17 over September. Soybeans down 8 to 16 cents, ranging from 1374 to 1403. Basis ended mixed, range from 74 to 103 over the August. Wheat prices on Thursday, 10 to 18 cents higher along the river, ranging from 568 to 574. Basis gained 6 to 14 cents, ranging from 6 to 12 under September. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place our producer corn bids steady to 2 cents lower at 441 to 442. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 5 to 15 cents with quotations at 1399 to 1419. Soft red winter wheat, 4 to 7 cents higher at 590 to 591, while Milo ended 2 cents lower for the day at 432 to 442. Contract bids for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn range from 377 up to 393. New crop soybean bids range from 1093 to 1121. In the central part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 380 up to 395, new crop soybean bids at 1092 to 1116, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 373 to 398, and new crop soybean bids range from 1104 up to 1124. That completes our grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 155, up $2.67. October live cattle, 156.90, up $1.22. December live cattle, 156.05, up 47 cents. August feeder cattle, 217.62, up $1.42. September feeder cattle, 218.82, up $1.27. October feeder cattle, 218.85, up $1.47. July lean hogs, 131.72, up 92 cents. August lean hogs, 131.60, up $1.25. October lean hogs, 116.75, up $1.65. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 3rd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 4 cents higher in the range of 120 to 129.75, with the weighted average carcass price of 127.23. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady going into the holiday with moderate demand from light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 68 to 70, 4 to 5 weight 69 to 76, 5 to 6 weight 75 to 79, and 600 pounds and up 77 to 83. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $86 up to $92. From receipts for Illinois hogs today, total 19,433 head. And now the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction for Wednesday, July the 2nd. They had receipts of 807 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were bringing 158 to 160, select and choice 140 to 147, select steers 130 to 135, and choice slaughter Holstein steers 138 to 140. Choice select and choice Holstein steers 130 to 137. Choice slaughter heifers 148 to 157. And select and choice heifers 140 to 148. Now onto the slaughter cows. They had premiums bringing 115. Boners were bringing 95 to 102, and leans were bringing 91 to 97. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 154 to 159, and on a dress basis at 248 to 250. Heifers on a live basis traded at 156.50 to 159, and on a dress basis 248 to 250. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 300 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 134.20, which was $1.03 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were 248.12, and that was 46 cents higher, with select carcasses at 241.12, and that was $1 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, that compared to 117,000 last week and 2,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 403,000, that compared to 397,000 last week and 2,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.15. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.90. July corn delivered to Scottville, $4.06. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.81. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $13.85. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $11.14. July beans delivered to Scottville, $13.74. October beans delivered to Scottville, $11.14. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.55. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.15, corn at Scottville is $4.06, beans at Greenfield are $13.85, beans at Scottville are $13.74, and wheat at Scottville is $5.55. When you think of Illinois, you typically think of corn and soybeans. If you're into specialty crops, pumpkins may also come to mind. But Illinois is also vying for a top 10 spot in the number of wineries per state. To take a closer look at this growing niche sector of Illinois agriculture, I spoke with Jim Ewan of Blue Sky Winery and Vineyard. We started off with how he got into the wine business.
I literally wanted to grow a few grapes. And it's pretty funny. It was a big decision. I sat there and talked to my father-in-law about swapping or buying some ground off of him, because everything I owned was wooded. And he was entranced with the idea of being a vineyard owner. So at the time, I had a full-time job, and looking into it, it's like there's no way I could, you know, afford the time to do a vineyard. Once that all sort of changed, we looked hard at it, and then it's a decision, do you want to go into business with your father-in-law? So we just sort of, we went from there. I knew that we were going to do a winery. I was thinking small and boutique-ish, but I should have known that he's not the small and boutique-ish type person. He loves to do things on a grand scale, and it's worked out very well.
And when growing grapevines, what are kind of the land conditions that you look for when growing vines?
There are several different things. What is very important, and this was ground that was all family owned for a long time before we ever did the vineyard, but the glacier stopped just a couple of miles north of us, so it's very rolling. What I like about that is it has good cold air drainage. Where you run into problems a lot of time is late spring, when your vines are starting to, you know, they've budded out and you're starting to get growth. And if you get a late frost, it can be very damaging. To have being up on the hills, it affords you a few more degrees, you know, where they are safer. And then the other thing is just soil fertility. Grapes don't like it super, you know, fertile. And that's one of the nice things. I know you're up in central Illinois where the dirt is black as coal. Down here, it's quite different, and so it lends itself well to grape growing.
And Jim, we just took a whole big tour of your vineyard and saw the winemaking process. And one of the things that jumped out at me was that when making wine, there's yeast on the grape skins, and you take that away and put on a man-made yeast. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I guess the term man-made is probably correct. The idea is, I mean, there's a lot of yeast out there, and you know, some of your yeast will sit there and convert juice into, you know, if you get acetobacter out there, I mean, you're going to end up with vinegar as opposed to wine. You want to make sure that what you're getting, and the different yeast that they've manufactured, there are literally hundreds. And you can have wines that will help to express fruitiness. You can have wines that will help to express, you know, more mouthfeel. Or not wines, but yeast. And so the idea is to come up with a yeast that best matches the grapes that you're using and the style of wine that you want to make.
And speaking of styles of wine and how you can make the wines, part of making the wine is oak barrels or not using oak barrels. And do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
We started using oak barrels with our current winemaker, but we've had an oak barrel system probably for about 5 years. And we are now branching out, starting to use more French oak as opposed to American oak. There is a lot of variety that you can get in a barrel. Obviously, you can get French oak or American oak or Eastern European oak. They have them combined where the bodies will be of one type and the heads will be of another. There's also several different toast level that you can get within your barrels. If you look at a whiskey barrel, on the inside they are literally charred. If you look at the inside of a barrel on a wine barrel, they are toasted. And they are different levels of toast. You have a light toast or a medium toast or a heavy toast. And then they go in between steps, medium toast plus, heavy toast plus. So there's a lot of variety, and they all help to express different flavors. And to there again, it's looking for the style of wine and what you think best exemplifies and brings your, you know, pairs best with the wine that you're making.
You say toast level, so do they literally kind of take the staves and just run them through a fire?
It is similar. Yes, they if you were to look at it, they have big gas burners. They put half the barrel together where they, you know, they put the bottom ring on it and the next ring, so it's still fairly open. And it truly is an art. The guy will sit there and hold the barrel over the open flame, not literally hold it, but it will be placed over the flame, and he knows how to turn it and how much sort of time expose it to get the toast level that he's looking for.
You said you started with the oak barrels about 5 years ago. Are you pleased with them so far?
Oh, without question. Yeah, prior to that, we had used oak staves. Which does impart the oak flavor. The oak barrels lend a whole different aspect. It's a much more traditional method. In addition to getting the oak flavors imparted with it, other things are going on. You're getting a little bit of micro oxygenation, which helps to age the wine. You're getting a little bit of evaporation through the barrels, which helps to concentrate the flavors. So all of that stuff does help to improve the wine quality.
And you say that you have French oak and American oak. When you bring the wines out of those barrels, can you taste a difference?
Yeah, that was something I was really curious about. And fortunately, we had one variety. Actually, the grapes came off of the same block of vines and had some in French barrels, had some in American barrels. And when I took the time to actually taste the two wines side by side, markedly different flavors.
Every winery has something that makes them unique, and Blue Sky is no exception. A winery of their size has generally grown out of a phase of bottling their wine by hand and moved on to bottling by machine. However, Blue Sky still bottles everything they produce by hand.
For several reasons. The best reason to say, well, it's that much more of a handcrafted product and it's deserving of a higher price. The other fact is, though, I mean, to have a bottling line, it needs to have a true dedicated space. We grew exponentially. I drew plans to what I thought was an adequate size. If we were to really put a high-quality bottling line in, it would take a big chunk of the real estate that we have available downstairs, and I would want it bolted to the floor where it never moves. And we can't afford that comfort right now. So we hand bottle everything. It's a very gentle process on the wines, and I do think, yes, it's a little bit more labor intensive. I like the fact that the people that we have doing the labor also work in our tasting room, so it helps them to know more of what's going on down in the cellar, and they're better to better able to educate our customers on what happens downstairs.
Helps give them an all-around experience to give the customers a more all-around experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The more they know, I love to have them work in the vines. I love to have them help at harvest. They buy more into the program and have a greater understanding as opposed to just what they're pouring out of the bottle.
Now, we've talked a little bit about the winemaking process. What do you think is the most important part when it comes to crafting a bottle of wine? Going from on the vine to into the bottle, what do you think is the most important aspect?
Well, I mean, two things. Neither of them have anything directly to do with, the yeast you choose or anything like that. One of them is what you do out in the vineyard. That, to me, you cannot make a good wine out of bad grapes. So much of what ends up in the bottle is a direct reflection of what happens out in the field. And so that's where we put an awful lot of our energy and effort is into producing high quality fruit. The other thing, in my opinion, is cleanliness. And it's just one of those things that I love the fact that the guy that takes care of my cellar, not my winemaker, but my cellar master, is ex-military. And everything is orderly and where it should be. And so much of winemaking is cleaning everything before the process, keeping it clean during the process, and cleaning everything after the process. It's just cleanliness, cleanliness, cleanliness. So that's, those are the two things that to me are going to give you a very fault-free, very stable and, sturdy wine.
And one of your more interesting wines that you have here is called Misterioso. And can you tell me a little bit about this wine?
I told you a trade secret downstairs, and now I feel like I'm going to, relay it to the rest of the world.
To be too specific.
It's one of those things that, when you crush and press a juice, what is left at the bottom of the tank after it settles out before you start making it wine is you get what's called the gross lees, and that just has a lot of the solids, but there's still a lot of juice in there. And for a long time, we would just pretty much dispose of that outside. And we've got a filtering system where we put all of the gross lees together and we filter it through at the end of the season, and that becomes the basis of the Misterioso.
definitely sounds like a very interesting wine, and I know that that's not all that goes into it, but I won't press you for every single detail on it. Moving on and kind of looking into the future here, what are your hopes for Blue Sky Winery?
Oh, I think we're, you know, we just sort of keep our ear to the ground, see what people are, you know, what our customers are wanting, and we grow in those directions. I would like to see our production levels go up some. Legalities, you know, there's a very definite size break point at 25,000 gallons. There are, you know, the laws change, and so at 25,000 gallons, you can no longer self-distribute, you can no longer, you know, like I say, there's just, you know, a few things that change, and that's when you're really taking a step to be one of the big guys. We're a little ways away from that, so I would like to see our production, you know, levels get up closer to that, which means that we need to pretty much branch out into more distribution, and we are starting to, you know, find ourselves in central Illinois a bit more, and it's time to start, you know, going a little bit further north from there.
But you do want to keep all of your wines at least somewhat local, keep them in the state maybe?
Oh, well, I mean, we do distribute down in western Kentucky right now. So, you know, international, whatever works. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I don't foresee us. I mean, it's just one of those things that you can work a lot harder and, you know, discount your wines to a greater degree and put in a lot more hours. And at the end of when it's all said and done, your bottom line's probably not going to be a lot different. So I like the idea. I cringe calling us boutique-ish because I know there are some truly small wineries out there that are more boutique-ish. But, yeah, we're sort of on that threshold, and I would rather sort of keep it about the size we're at now.
All right, very good. And what would you say, before we go here, what would you say is probably your favorite wine that you guys have?
Depending on the season, I would say overall it's our Chamberson Reserve. It's a wonderful, Chamberson is a great, wonderful grape, and it's sort of the flagship grape of Southern Illinois. It's a nice dry red, big fruit. We blend in a little bit of Cabernet Franc to give a little more of a tannin structure. 2 years in French oak, so it's got a wonderful oak quality to it. But that one, during the summertime, it's a little bit, I like, you know, lighter wines. And for that, I would either go with our Villard Blanc, which is a very easy drinking wine, or our Vignole, which is a very nice, crisp, high acid, you know, refreshing wine.
All right, very good. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we go here today?
No, I appreciate the opportunity, and I would you know, have all your listeners look in. This is down Southern Illinois is a fantastic, and the Wine Trail is a great place to spend a long weekend. There is a lot of, you know, aside from us, you know, we're on a wine trail of 12 different wineries, a lot of bed and breakfast in the area. It truly is a nice getaway that is a lot different than the rest of the state.
Again, that was Jim Ewan with Blue Sky Winery and Vineyard. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.